Reading this morning is from Jeremiah, chapter 6, verses 13 to 20. From the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike all practice deceit. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Are they ashamed of their despicable conduct? No. They have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen. They will be brought down when I punish them, says the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. I appointed watchmen over you and said, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But you said, we will not listen. Therefore hear, you nations, you who are witnesses. Observe what will happen to them. Hear, you earth, I am bringing disaster on these people, the fruit of their schemes, because they have not listened to my words and have rejected my law. What do I care for incense from Sheba or sweet calamus from the distant land? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable to me. Your sacrifices do not please me. This is the word of the Lord.
New Testament reading is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 18. Can be found on page 1179 if you've got a pew Bible. Shining as stars, Paul's letter to the Philippians. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on that day of Christ that I did not run or labour for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord.
Just one verse, and it's Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. I'll read it again. This is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. We all know, don't we, what it is to be at a crossroads. A crossroads is a junction. It's a junction where various paths meet and then separate and go in their different ways. It's a point in the road, it's a place where the driver or the traveller has options that lie before him. And a crossroads has become a kind of metaphor, hasn't it? Metaphor for life and life's junctions, times when we stop and we're faced with choices. We consider where we've come from and where we're going. Perhaps we look at the different options available to us as we think of going forward. There are a number of crossroads in life, aren't there? There are times like birthdays, particularly those big birthdays, 18, 21, 40, 50. Julie was 50, just to make that clear. Julie was 50 the other day, a couple of days ago. Sorry. New Year is one of those times, isn't it? The New Year, we feel that. It's like a crossroads. There are times in life that are crossroads moments. Starting school, leaving home for the first time. Your first job. A new job. Retirement. Or a life event. Getting married. Having children. These are all crossroads. And at all of them, whether they're literal or metaphorical, options lie before us, don't they? And some of those options are better than others. And how we experience life henceforth depends on the path we choose at the crossroads. How it goes really is sometimes up to us. How life goes is up to us. What we do at the crossroads, the way we strike out, can be good for us or less good for us. And Jeremiah tells us there's a way to go that guarantees rest for our souls. He says that, doesn't he? Stand there, he asks what the good way is, walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. The soul is really the mind. We might translate rest for your souls as peace of mind. There's a way to have peace of mind, to have joy in life that's bigger than our circumstances. Peace of mind is different to everything being a bed of roses. Looking at 2018 and the year ahead, our circumstances might be challenging. The road might be winding. It might feel like it's uphill all the way. It might be potholed. There might be disappointment, difficulty. There might be other nasty words beginning with D. Disease. Death for us or a loved one. Those things are out of our control and they'd likely come to us whichever path we were on. But if we take the right option, pick the right path, we can be sure of rest for our souls, peace of mind, whatever else is on the path. What is this path of peace? What is it? Well, we'll come to that in just a moment. What we're going to do, though, is notice the four verbs that go into this verse. I'm going to get this. Whoops, lost one of my pins. Here we go. We'll put this up. And we're going to concentrate on these four verbs that make up this verse. Here we go. The first one, I'm sure you noticed. Don't know if Mark's able to bring it up, that first bit of the reading. Did you have it up on the screen? Can't remember now. No, okay, don't worry. That should go over here, shouldn't it, really? So the first verb is stand. I need to stand. I don't know about you, but I feel like life, we're always rushing around in life, aren't we? We're rushing and rushing and rushing. We rush headlong into things, running around like headless chickens. There's no time to draw breath and reflect. But if we stand for a moment, there's a chance we'll think about where we've come from and make a more conscious, deliberate decision about where we're going. It's a time to review, isn't it? The new year is a good time to review, to just stand still and take stock. And I hope, you know, today's a Sunday, tomorrow's bank holiday, day off. Hopefully we've all got time to reflect in quietness. Actually, what is life amounting to at the moment? What's the path I'm on? Where am I going? The next verb is look. There we go. Look. We've got to look. We need to open our eyes and survey the scene. We've got to look at the way we took through 2017. Scrutinize it. Put it under the microscope. Evaluate it. Was it any good? Was it the good way? Was it a path of peace we took? Did it bring us God's true rest? And then perhaps we've got to notice, oh, there are other options open to me here for 2018. 2018 doesn't have to be the same as 2017. Some things will be the same. My job's going to be the same, most likely. My address will be the same. My family's going to be the same. But that doesn't mean you have to approach your life the same way that you did in 2017. I don't know if you've come across any of you this series. Nicola and I have probably talked about it a bit to some of you. It's called Suits. We were quite into it in 2017 and probably in 2016 too. It's a sort of law firm drama. In Suits, this character, Harvey Specter, is trying to teach Mike all the sort of tricks of the trade, all the skills. And in one episode, he's trying to teach Mike that there are always options that Mike hasn't thought of. And I think Mike says, what do you do when someone puts a gun to your head? And Harvey says, you take the gun, you pull out a bigger one, you call their bluff, or you try one of the 146 other options. So he's trying to tell Mike there are always more possibilities in any situation than we've considered. So what is that really tricky, nuggety, difficult thing in your life, we've all gotten, that perhaps you've tripped over repeatedly in 2017? You kept dealing with it the same way you've always dealt with it, same way you did in 2015 and 2005 and 1995. What if in 2018 there's a different path, there's a different approach you could take, a better one? So we've got to look. The next one is we need to ask. We need to ask. Let's just get some pins. Oh, I'll just go for the middle one, having dropped that one. There we go. We've got to ask. Maybe the path we need, the path of peace, rest for our souls, isn't actually obvious to us. We need it revealed to us. We need it shown to us. Before the days of sat navs, we all had that experience, didn't we, of getting lost in some unknown place in a remote part of a foreign country. And we thought we'd tried everything to the point that mum was getting cross with dad and dad was getting cross with mum. And then after lots of driving around down the same narrow winding streets, we pulled over and asked a local person. And the local would point us on our way. And sure enough, you made it to your destination because you asked. And the path that we need, this good path for 2018, is one we need to ask for. We're not going to come to it by ourselves through our own genius. Self-reliance is the worst approach any of us can take. Try that and we get crosser and crosser and more miserable. We need God to show us the good path. We need only ask and he'll show. He'll point the way. He'll point the way. So what is this ancient path, this good way? We'll not keep us in suspense any longer. What is the path that promises peace, whatever else may come? Well, I think there's no more ancient path than the path the scriptures show us. It's God's way, isn't it? It's the narrow way, the way that follows Jesus Christ, the way of real Christian discipleship, the way of obedience. It's God's gospel track. It's ancient because it's always been there. Our Bible heroes all took it in ancient times, didn't they? Noah and Enoch and Abraham and Moses. They all took the gospel path. It goes back to the beginning of time. It winds its way through every age and it can still be traveled on today. Many of us have read John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. If we haven't, we should. This is our abridged illustrated version called Dangerous Journey. Great for reading with young children. It follows a man called Christian as he journeys towards the celestial city. What was John Bunyan doing if he wasn't describing the ancient path, the good way that every Christian must walk in? That's the good way, the path that follows Jesus. That's the way that finds rest for our souls. Some of us will be thinking, well, I've heard that phrase before, finding you will find rest for your souls. And we have, haven't we? It's something that Jesus himself said. In Matthew 11:29, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We find rest for our souls when Jesus is in charge, teaching, directing our life. So that's the ancient path, the good way, the path to peace. But we're not quite done. We've got one more verb to just take in, and that is walk. Walk. Here we go. But a walk. Whether or not we actually find rest for our souls comes down to whether we will walk in that gospel way. We can't just ask the way, be shown the way, see the way, tell others the way. To find rest for our souls, to be truly happy, means walking in that way. Most of the misery that we experience, the restlessness, the frustrations that we go through, come from our resistance to walking in the way of Jesus. Think of 2017. I bet a good number of the lows we went through came because we refused to put into practice the things he's taught us. The downtimes came from thinking we knew better. He may say this about our attitude, about money, about our free time, about marriage, but we ignored what he said. We thought we knew better. I'm going to go my own way on this one, Jesus, thanks. Come back to rural France, or wherever it was you were imagining, and picture yourself driving around for hours and hours, becoming more and more frustrated. You meet a local, and miracle of miracles, he speaks English. He's heard of the village you're after and tells you how to get there. He even draws you a very clear map. What fool would then ignore those directions and that map and return to the same guesswork that he's been doing the last three hours that haven't helped at all? Well, we've all been like that, haven't we, if we're honest? We've all been like that. We've got to walk in the gospel way. And doesn't walking imply steady, patient, daily habit? It's not a burst, it's almost a rhythm. It's a regular, easy motion. So let's get into our stride in 2018. Let's make certain things habits. Let's make church a habit. I'll be there every week. I need it, and the people around me need it. The church family needs me there. Let's make Bible reading and prayer a habit that we walk in. I need God's word every day to stay on the path. I need to talk to him and ask him to show me the good way. I expect we've all been thinking mainly of ourselves, haven't we, this morning? Our own discipleship, our own 2017, our own 2018. Choices we'll make, challenges we'll face. And a new year is a moment for all of us personally, individually. And I hope God speaks to all of us in that way this morning. But let's close by remembering the same things apply also to us as a church family, corporately. There's a path that promises peace for our church. There's a way that will bring real joy to us as a family of faith. We're called to tread the gospel path. The path of obedience to Jesus. A path on which we pursue his agenda and his goals. But that's not inevitable. We all say, yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's not inevitable. There are other paths a church can tread. Paths paved not with his priorities, but our own. They look inviting. They feel familiar. They seem safer. But they lead to misery. Jeremiah, I mean, you must have heard it. As Terry read, it's full of doom and gloom, that passage. Jeremiah wrote to a generation of Israelites determined not to walk in God's way. And that verse, I actually cut it off short, didn't I? It says, but you said we will not walk in it. And in verse 12, if you've got it in front of you, you'll see they were all at it, from the least to the greatest, even the ministers. Even the ministers. I've lost it now. Yeah, it says prophets and priests alike, even the ministers. The people of God are prone to wandering away. We're serial self-harmers, to use that expression. But that is not God's will for us, friends. Jesus came to stop the self-harming. Remember that carol we sang in Advent? I love it. O come, O come, Emmanuel. Remember the... Well, I'll read one of the verses to you. O come, O key of David, come and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high and close the path to misery. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. So Jesus has come to put us on the way to life, the way that leads on high to the celestial city, if you like. And to know we're on it now. He wants us to know we're on it. So let's make sure we choose that gospel way for our churches in 2018. One thing we can all do is pray for our PCCs this January and February. We're at a crossroads in terms of our church life. There's a reminder of that right in the front of your newsletter, which hopefully you got as you came in. We've got meetings in January and February to try and think about what is the path we're taking forward. So please pray for the PCCs, because we need to stand and take stock of where we are. We need to face facts, perhaps. We need to look at the options open to us. We need to ask God to reveal to us the ancient paths and to show us where the good way is, and to ask which way really puts Jesus' agenda first. And then we need to walk in it. Not just notice it and acknowledge it, but walk in it. We need to get up and go, don't we? Set off in that direction. Strike out boldly. I hope all of us can be committed to that in 2018. Individually, for our own lives. Corporately, for our church life together. Now, we're going to do something we don't often do in our services, but on the eve of a new year, it does seem like a good time for us to sort of recommit ourselves to God's way, to going his way together. If you like, almost commissioning, a recommissioning of ourselves. So I'm going to just ask you while you're sitting to take a moment to read the words on page 7. If you have a order of service, and thank you for putting that up, Mark. The words in bold that go over onto page 8. And consider whether you'd like to say those. And now let's stand then. And we'll say these words together. Let's stand. Eternal God, in your love, you call us to share in your gracious covenant in Jesus Christ. We hear your commands and desire to do your perfect will. With joy, we offer ourselves anew to you. We are no longer our own, but yours. We say together, I am no longer my own, but yours. Your will, not mine, be done in all things, wherever you may place me, in all that I do and in all I may endure, when there is work for me and when there is none. When I am troubled and when I am at peace. Your will be done when I am valued and when I am disregarded. When I find fulfillment and when it is lacking. When I have all things and when I have nothing. I willingly offer all that I have and am to serve you as and where you choose. Glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. May it be so forever. Let this covenant now made on earth be fulfilled in heaven. Amen.